Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the National Coalition Women of Color in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, hosting live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. I think it is a very wonderful afternoon here in Metro Atlanta, and I want to tell everybody about how our methods and policies have been improvised and changing the way that we do business. We had a wonderful symposium on March 26th at the Brotherhood of Carpenters, which we are signatory association to, and I'm going to change the format of how we do the show. I think a lot of information should be passed on, so I think our format is going to change a little bit in terms of a new situation, able to give each individual an opportunity to look at some of the local news that is affecting the areas of the country when it comes to the construction industry and some of those stories of the challenges that women are having in regards to the industry and being the way the industry has been for years. Very interesting enough, met with one of the executive board members of the Carpenters, and he made a statement. He said, Karima, he said, for the last 20 years, we've been beating ourselves to death to kill ourselves for the last 20 years. So I kind of feel that the union has taken a different, especially the Carpenters, the Brotherhood of Carpenters in the Metro Atlanta area, has saw that there has been an exhausted amount of resources done to not get the type of choice individuals that would have sustainability in the industry, because currently there are no African-American men of color in the Brotherhood of Carpenters at this date and stage. We have some very strong hopes and understanding that a lot of the industry has changed into LEED projects, green projects, sustainable material projects. They have led into an incorporation of new types of applications that are mandating that, for instance, the flooring systems in the 60 manufacturers throughout the country has a new program called Install, and the only people, the only organization that is certified to present the Install program are the Carpenters. And so, therefore, what you're really seeing currently is that a lot of the flooring companies that have been in business, that has been passed on to persons to persons, but they do get the training on in the field. Well, there's more technical training that has to be adhered to. But, again, this form is for information purposes. The Install program is 60 manufacturers throughout the country have gotten together so that at the end of a project, when the carpet is bulking or the tile is peeling up or it's the floor is uneven and water's not draining properly, all that says now is that there's only certain types of certified programs that you have to be certified in that will be able to install the products that they carry. So, therefore, you have about a hand few of people who will be in the capacity. And this change is not going to come immediately, just like the general contractor's license, ladies and gentlemen. General contractor's license was something that the coalition actually tried to put out to different individuals back 2 years ago. It was companies even right now, they're trying to figure out how to stay afloat. But instead of them moving their business further and train and changing the methods in which they do business, they rather go back into the way that they've been doing it, thinking that the old way is going to suffice. But within the next 2 years, the state of Georgia will have the same poised look of contractors being certified within the industry. And I say this, that subcontractors in Nashville, in the state of Tennessee, in Alabama, and Florida, if you are a subcontractor, you must have the same profile or the same responsibilities, as the general contractor. You must have the same financial responsibilities as the general contractor, but within your guidelines. So the example of if you awarded a project for $100,000, you must not only have met the capacity of that, but your financial capacity has to show that you have that amount of credit, lines of credit, or financial credit in terms of banking or not from the manufacturer, but they need to know that if whatever you have bid it on, if you fail, that you can back up your bid. That's not bonding. So in the state of Tennessee, for example, if there's 16 divisions of work, your name of your business is put on the outside of the envelope. And when that name is placed on the outside of the envelope, the the subcontractor and the GC are now married to that bid. There will be no, it'd be very hard to get out of that because they have utilized your capacity in terms of your bonding, in terms of your aspect of work, to state that this is my concrete contractor. CECI Services is pouring the contract, the concrete work for us. It's $50,000. Here's their bond. Here's their information. This is our certified contractor. That is what is about to happen to the state of Georgia. However, our leaders who have been leading blindly the blind are not looking at this down the road. It's a travesty that the Minority Contractors Association, sitting across the table from one gentleman to yesterday, that is a frat brother of C.D. Moody, has never reached back and tried to show those individuals that he became the contractor he was based on the carpenters. Yes, C.D. Moody started with the Brotherhood of Carpenters, and that's how he blew up overnight. That needs to be said. I don't have any problem against C.D. Moody, but I do have a problem when people utilize the fact that I'm a minority-owned firm in order to elevate his firm, but do not turn around and pull back up another firm. And that's something that a lot of our minority firms do. And this is a part of the Center for Women Business Research. It's been a unique study that has been done for women of color in businesses. Hidden barriers, hidden bases. One of the outcomes of that was that there was a forum that was created in real time frame and real time scales that allowed participants to sit around in a forum that was recorded by a proctor to identify what are the barriers that you face as a business owner. So therefore, we were able to record all those individuals and take a survey and take studies, and we put together periodically some surveys that the Center for Women Business Research, Gwen Martin, has asked us to place a survey out with our listeners and a part of our website, which will be administered through a new design that we're working on. To take on questions and answers that's going to come about in business. Some of the things that the coalition is going to do is do consulting for individuals who are in startup mode, who are in business. We ask that our rate is utilized in a fashion that we will try to work with people based on their budget. But that is the only way that we're going to empower each other. We're the only way that we're going to empower our industry. And in terms of the Center for Women Business Research, this research cost about $5 million, and it lasted for 3 years, and it had a unique component that the requirements for each one of those individuals had to have at least a gross income of $250,000 a year as a business, not worth. But your net, I believe your gross, had to reflect that. So therefore, you wasn't, I think, and it attracted the type of women who had some kind of sustainability. Because even though $250,000 may not look like or sound like a lot of money, however, it is a lot of money when you are a woman of color in business. So our study allowed us to work with, well, not our study, but the study was the Center for Women Business Research study allowed the individuals to utilize real women who had real problems. And, you know, frighteningly enough, all of those women were involved in different aspects of contracting. Some of them was in construction. Some of them was in services, professional services. But guess what? They all came out to the same result. That result became a part of the mission for the coalition. And one of those is to build social networks, to build human capital networks and financial capital networks. And the understanding that a lot of other organizations fail to administer to the different women different aspects of their business in order to have a model change. Have proudly put together a situation for our youth bill to build a model that will help our youth throughout the country become retroactive into the industry and have sustainability. I want to get to talk about that in the last portion of the show. But I also want to encourage people to look at the fact that the resources that are out here are limited because a lot of people are not communicating the information in which it's been held accountable for with the new stimulus package. Everybody has their own ideals, but the coalition has worked with Chicago Women in the Trades, Wider Opportunities for Women Now, Tradeswomen's Now and Tomorrow, TNT, organizations that have been around for 30 years or better, Professional Women of Color Network, Professional Women in Construction in New York, working with the Oregon individuals that are out there helping with administering a new DOT strategy in order to implement minority participation on a different level that it's never been done on. Those are the things that the methods that make sense, because policy changes are going to affect us. And if we're not a part of those policy changes, then guess what? Just like the general contractor's license, we're proud. We are very proud to have companies like CJ Kern Construction, who's a licensed general contractor, who is licensed lead abatement, licensed asbestos, licensed, not certified, but licensed in the capacity in which she works. We're proud to have people like Margaret Gardner, who's a licensed general contractor in Chicago, licensed to do all types of commercial projects in terms of Sam's Club, Walmart. And then we have a licensed architect, Nadine Levy. I'm just giving a real good, broad understanding about the capacity levels that the coalition on this national executive level has built in order for people to understand you have to achieve through your industry in which you think that you represent. For folks who are not out here going to school, getting the best information possible, and utilizing the old structure, I feel sorry for them. We had one of very good firms to make a selection on how their model, they decided not to change their business model. And unfortunately, it's going to hit like a brick house down the line. But, you know, you can't lead a horse to water. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So I want to talk about how this construction industry and how the stimulus package is being utilized and underutilized. This always, the information is not provided. It's not forthcoming to the different entities throughout the country. The government agencies are breaking it up in different type of aspects so that, you know, for instance, there's supposed to be a workforce development for youth to work in different people's sites. Okay, they work at a person's site, but where is the sustainability that's there? They're not affiliated with anybody. They're not affiliated with the AFL-CIO, the building trades. You got kids that are going through programs like Youth Build, for instance. No relationship to the carpenters, no relationships built with the electricians, plumbers. I'm very proud to have on the show Maggie Bowens Freeman. Ms. Freeman, welcome to the show. Okay. Hello. All right. And I want to welcome caller from 651 to the show. What I'm gonna do, guys, is I am on a portable system right now. What I'm gonna do is play a song that Destiny Muhammad has produced.
And the voice of all good tidings, the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the one. Seek my face. I'm all you will ever need. The voice of ancient calling and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My face, I'm all you will ever need. All you ever need.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome back to the National Coalition of Women of Color Block Talk Radio Show. Very interesting that the song that you heard was called Grace. Grace has been written, produced, and sung by our executive director, Destiny Muhammad, who is a Grammy recording artist and a producer that has blessed our multimedia program with her husband, Chriswell Muhammad, and our wonderful co-executive, Mario Coleman, and our board has been very diligent in providing our goals in terms of sustainability. We're going to talk about the youth bill on the last half part of the show, but again, that is Destiny Muhammad, and it's called Grace. And uniquely enough, the two executive directors, co-director, executive director, produced a CD on behalf of the coalition. Actually, one song that is going to be our theme song, our national anthem for the coalition. Our CD, our DVD is available, will be available concerning the symposium that was held at the Brotherhood of Carpenters on March 26th. And one of the things we want to get into is some of the issues regarding the news scenarios that is creating a blast around the country when it comes down to programs that are out here that do not have sustainability. We've had a couple of challenges involving our youth program, and one of those is that we realize that we have a very new model, a very strategic model that reflects a lot of change. And I want to welcome a couple of our executive board members onto the call. Welcome you guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Okay. It's good to have our national executive people pop in from time to time and check on the sister with all the hats.
What y'all doing?
Okay, Destiny. Ironically, we just played your song a moment ago, Grace.
Mhm.
Yeah, I tell people all the time that's me singing, but I don't think anybody believes it. And we wanna welcome you guys to the show, and I appreciate you guys coming through for a moment. I know everybody's been busy, we're about to actually get into talking about Build a Youth Foundation. Incorporated, BYF, in the last half of the show. But since you are here, we welcome you to the call. I think you and Mario are doing a wonderful job in delegating how the structure for the Build a Youth is coming together and in its direction. And I appreciate the guidance through some of these uncharted courses. It's a little bit more delicate than it is in construction. I see that now. Just try to follow suit. But I'm excited about the fact that we have a different model ourselves. I've been, jumping up and down and preaching about change your business model, and then things will change. But interesting enough, I see that, with us going into a different direction and build a youth foundation, opposed to a youth build program altogether, which is a traditional program that, to me, is, it's been dormant in the sense of producing the level of expertise in the industry. I'm not sure where they are in terms of the long-term goals regarding some other things, but us having a multimedia program and becoming a member of IATSE, I guess that really excited Chriswell Muhammad, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And we understand that it's not just him excited, but it gives our kids a strong advantage in understanding the industry in which you have to live in, especially in California. I think you told me a story about you went to a studio to pick up something, and they told you, nope, wrong place, right? I thought that us having the IOTC relationship, as far as the coalition, being able to give our youth.
And you want to explain what IOTC is so people don't run around shouting it and not knowing what it is.
Okay.
Now that you got your little information, you're dangerous.
Yeah, you know, I keep telling you guys, you guys appointed me the executive producer. Oh, my executive director, poor Mario, he left here happy that he was not in my presence any longer. I didn't know what you all did produce so much time and effort. It just seems like it's effortless when you all do it, but yet I've been delivered. I see that it's time consuming. You know, IOTC is the
International
Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Moving Picture Technicians, Artists, and Allied Crafts of the United States.
Hallelujah.
Its territories in Canada, originally charted by the American Federation of Labor as the National Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees in 1893. The name had evolved in the course of 115 years of the geographical and craft expansion, as well as the technological advancements. The current title was adapted in 1995, more accurately reflects with the full scope of activities in the entertainment industry, and I will go down the list. Animation, computer, generated imagery, front of the house, laboratory, makeup and hair, motion picture and television production, post-production, projection, and audio-visual, scenic artists, stagehands, television broadcast, trade shows, exhibitions, treasurers, and ticket sellers, wardrobe, and applied crafts of the AFL-CIO. I think that's everything. So, yes, we are a member of IOTC, and we would have never gotten that understanding if it wasn't for both you and Chris. Well, we truly are thankful to you all. And inshallah, if all these things continue to come together, then I guess we will be on our. I guess we're on our way. It's you know. I guess you always say, Karima, get used to it. It's good. It's all right to be okay. It's all right.
You don't have to get sick to get better.
Okay. Absolutely. So we want to welcome you and telling us about a little bit more of a layman's term of what IOTC really, really means and what that does for you guys as youth, build a youth program, multimedia part of it.
Well, the objective of connecting the youth with the IOTC is that for them to have the opportunity, in particular youth of color, to move into the stagehands union, to move into that, the back end, if you will, the foundation, if you will, of all the performing arts, the folks who load in all the equipment and trucks, who set up the stage and make the costumes and do the makeup, to move youth into that arena as union people, which has been for many years not available to us. Many youth only think the only way to be on the stage is to be on the front, and many are really not in any way, respectfully so, not engaged in that realm. They're not interested in breakdancing or singing or whatever it is on stage, but they may be really interested in being an electrician who puts up all the lights or a lighting tech or a sound tech, really excited about sound but not wanting to sing on stage, but wanting to be the person to make sure that the person who is singing or whatever they're doing on stage is heard, and heard in the most elegant and beautiful way. It's such a vast opportunity, and to bring youth of color into it would really expand the economic development in people of color's environment. And that's really what I have to say about that in regards to connecting with IOTC with the union and making them aware of how the union can work for them as long as they are working with it, how it benefits everyone as a whole.
Well, and the thing of it is people think that we're pushing the union thing because of some type of hidden agenda or something like that.
No, what it does is it ups the ante on the professionalism, because the union has certain testing that most youngsters wouldn't know about if they weren't brought in, if you will, by a mentor. But the testing will allow them to move into a level of professionalism that will allow them to move anywhere in the world. As you said about IFC, they are here as well as in Canada. But that union is recognized internationally. That's why it is the international. So if they pass certain tests and they've been mentored by certain people, that standard is an international standard. And they'll be expected to know it. They're not just going to be able to walk in and say, yeah, I want to work backstage. Well, we need to see your union card, because the union card will specifically state that this person has been trained to do this job at a level that supersedes most.
And it's a part of what has been an industry standard since 1893.
Absolutely.
That there's a standard that has to be met, no matter how innovative you are in this business. There is an industry standard, and that standard has been written, dogmented into the infrastructure of every one of our practicing industries. It is a standard that has to be met, because if there were no standards, then we would be all uncivilized.
Ooh.
People.
You
doing
see a bunch
anything.
Of duct tape running around there and some hot wires.
You know, the interesting thing about where we are with IATSE was when I called the international and spoke with Mr. DiPaolo for a quick second, he immediately placed us in the hands of a very, very accomplished woman who has been the business agent for that particular union here in Atlanta for the past 15 years. And she also sits on the International Affairs Board and has really, really gathered a lot of assembly of women of color. One of the statistics that I want to bring to pass is that she mentioned that there's 700 members in her union, and that out of the 700, I believe 75% are people of color and 50% are women of color.
Hmm.
So I think we targeted into something that really a lot of I have a lot of friends who do all sorts of things, Destiny. But I asked them, have you ever heard of IATSE? They do hair. They spend all this money at hair shows, but they don't go anywhere. They stay right there within their parts of their industry, and are not broadcast through the country. And I tell people all the time, why do you think certain people blow up when they go out to California? They become a part of the infrastructure when not even just in California, but in New York. There's a strong.
You have to remember, you got to look at industry towns as well. And in particular, for instance, Los Angeles is a big industry town. So when people go, when you go to an industry town, you have to go with an agenda. Why are you here? If you are not here to work, then you are taking up space.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the things I just saw in the IATSE agreement. They said that don't just think because you have a union card that you can travel into another person's town without making a call and letting them know that you're there, so that there can be some respect. And that's what I love about the industry. There is respect within the industry, especially in the music and the broadcasting and all that. There's a respect that has shed a light of cooperation to materialize a product. It, you know, without one not doing what they're supposed to do, the product doesn't get produced. No matter if that person's black, white, woman, gay, straight, got two eyes, three legs, and you know, and green.
Yes.
It's a cooperation level that when you all start to get together on pulling off a production, and I want to mention to everybody else that there is a very strong thing that Destiny is doing that she's bringing to this side of the world when it comes to production, and that's just out the back of my mind. It's called The Invisible Wound. Wonderful production. I think the folks are going to really enjoy it as we start pulling together some last minute venues to accommodate something to that nature. But what I was saying earlier was that basically you have a situation where the bulk of the cooperation is done at the very beginning of the day, when the before it becomes what you people see on television. There's a huge amount of individuals that I just read off that comes together and bring shows to life. Every time you look at the news, every time you look at anything on television in any type of stage, it takes a team of people working collaboratively together to make things work. There is no place in the industry that warrants all these different things. Now, I guess as you grow, if you get into the business of the industry, yes, there's some type of barriers and things, but when you talk about the industry in general, those things are placed on the back burner. They're placed on the back burner in order to produce what I would say a product that people like Destiny and Chriswell and Mario and Nadine, that in the light of it, it's something that's accomplished. You know, there's no such thing as turning on the television and channel 2 doesn't come on. Well, you know, Destiny was late, so we can't run the show. We can't do the news. we didn't order that part, so we got to stop everything. In the construction industry, that type of nonsense happens down here in Georgia and in the southeastern states. But from where I'm from, everything is coordinated together and it works within its own, just like the industry that Destiny works in. The industries are comparatively the same.
Yeah.
In one sense, but when it comes down to the people who are administering those things, they are quite different. The people mentality in our industry, in the construction industry, is you dependent on me, you need me. The industry that the IOTC, which the multimedia lives in, is that y'all all depend on each other.
Yeah, because we know that we work as a machine, and it's important that every machine, because we had mentioned to you earlier that we have folks in the union who their job is strictly to sweep the floor. That's their job, and they get paid to do that, and it's imperative that they sweep the floor so that the other folks can come through and maybe lay something down on the floor, set up cables on the floor. Everybody depends on each other to do their job, because the whole working together as one creates something fantastic, but everybody has to pull their share of the load.
And that's wonderful.
And everyone is interdependent upon one another. So it's a very powerful thing. And that's one of the things about for us, we have an executive producer named Kareem Ali. We have Mario, who also acts as producer, and he's a sound person. Chriswell Muhammad, who acts as the sound and lighting tech. And then there's Destiny, whose primary role in a portion of it is as the artist. All of that allowed for me to get up on stage and to put on a show that's fabulous, because everyone has done their job. And not just done it, but happy to do it.
Absolutely. I have been happy to try to do the best I can with the things that I have been appointed to do or have had no choice but to do. But, you know, I'm loving the importance of being able to have affiliations with people like Joe Williams from Kingdomwood Films, and understanding that this man's passion, just as well as Chriswell Muhammad's passion, is to be able to touch the youth in a way that will give a different perspective. Because we're talking about men who, according to what I understand, just in the conversation that we had on our first conference call, was that it was not normal 30 plus years ago to have a Chriswell Muhammad walking around there.
Oh, no.
and a Joe Williams that was walking around through there. And then quite naturally, I'm sure it wasn't even thought of that to have a, you know, in the back part, the backdrop of things in the sense of the word, in terms of their specialty and what they brought to the table. However, because they were part of this IOTC and part of an infrastructure, it was, I'm sure it was hard, but it was fair. You know, that's what I learned that when I lived in Nashville. A young lady used to say, it's hard, but it's fair. So guess what? You know, as you always tell me, get over it. Get over it. Get over it. It happened. Get over it. Let's just move further. So the thing I really appreciate in understanding how this interdependent environment works together, I look at people all the time. When I ask people all the time, please go to our website, which is www.ncwcc.org. And you will see right there that our environment is to create interdependent environments so that things come together cooperatively, and that women are building bridges together. And as long as everything is an environment that they can do it in, and there's no, you know, there's always competition anywhere. However, when you let go and let situations flow properly, then, you know, you meet goals, you meet timelines. That's one of the things that, you know, I know I've been stressing with some things to put, you know, this last little component together to get you guys down here in Atlanta at the right time in May. But I've not given up because it's a little challenging for me not knowing the language and all that. But I have good mentors. I have a good board of people that I can go to and ask questions. And I don't have any problem humbling myself with this multimedia as you guys as economic business, the development person that's right now acting, serving as I guess you call it an intern until you all get the type of individuals that sit kind of right with you all. But the last thing I was going to ask you about, Destiny, was about Criswell. He's not available, is he?
He's sitting right here.
Okay, Brother Criswell.
He's got himself some rechargeable batteries, and he's excited.
Okay.
It's a little thing.
Right then. You know, I thought that was very interesting that the three of us, actually the five of us, was on that call with Kingdomwood, and there was such a collaboration between all three of you all, between Mario and Joe Williams and Criswell Muhammad, that it was very electrifying to understand the passion of you men wanting to deliver to our youth sustainability.
Yes.
In what they're doing, what, you know, in the interim. I thought that was very, very interesting, and I thought probably if you could kind of jump in on, you know, in the outcome of what you guys have been through and how the conversation kind of went with you all. I think it was very good synergy with having the men aboard to be able to, you know, sharpen each other. As you said, that
yes.
Men sharpen men.
That's right.
Criswell, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know, I think that one of the things that happens in the industry, as we know as show business, especially when it comes down to the IOTC members as well, is that we're passionate about what it is that we do. So in taking on a career that we're passionate about, it's a little bit different than taking on a career that you're maybe not happy to do, taking on a job that you're not happy to do. That doesn't mean that every job that we do and every client that we work with, we're happy about them, but we're happy about the job. So the standards, the outcome, is really based on those standards, how we are able to pull it off. The industry standards allow us to go from city to city. When I was touring, how a tour actually operates is that we're able to go to city and speak the same language.
Industry standard. It's just like being a doctor. They have their own language, and
absolutely.
It's understood. It's absolutely understood, and I just do not understand. You know, I guess can you kind of explain that industry standard that you guys have going on?
Well, the industry standard really is, first of all, being exposed to the work, being exposed to the tools, and having the know-how to have that tool to do the work. because it makes no sense to have a particular tool and you don't know what the tool does. We often ask the question, are you checked out on that piece of machinery?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. How do we pass that on to our youth? And I believe that that was even part of the excitement of the lady down in Atlanta that we spoke to when you signed on with IATSE, is that how do we pass that on? Because if we don't pass it on, we're going to have real problems in the industry.
Like the construction industry. We got real problems.
You're going to have real problems.
We got real problems in the construction industry. I'm almost ready to jump ship.
Well,
I'm almost ready to jump ship.
You know,
absolutely.
The thing that happens is like, and I am, when I make this statement, I am all for unions. However, it goes beyond just being in the union. There's a phrase that we often say when it comes to unions, and that's the brotherhood. And that brotherhood is based on being able to speak the same language with the same expectations for everyone.
You know, I think that expectation has a high standard in terms of any industry. It's anything. If you have a standard, and it makes a great deal of difference when you're looking at a standard that's been around since 1893.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about the standard of some of the things, you know, practices. You know, people just have their own views about different things, but a standard that makes sense to our industry. And one thing that you were mentioning is that the young lady that you did talk to down here, you know, she has a very staggering statistics.
Yes. Are you there?
Yeah. Could you kind of talk about what she does in terms of the exhibition part of it, what that really means to our children?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Hang on. He's coming. He's changing seats with me.
Okay. In many cases, and I overheard you talking about the hair shows and things of that nature, in many cases, we look at shows and we really only see what takes place on the show, on the day of the show. I don't know, and I'm sure down in Atlanta, there's a company called AutoZone. Are you familiar with AutoZone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I worked for 3 days. On a presentation for AutoZone.
Okay.
That only lasts 25 minutes.
Hmm.
But it took us 3 days. And in the industry, when we say 3 days, we're not talking about 8 hours. We're talking about 12-hour days, and then another crew comes in.
Hmm.
So what is expected to be completed in 12 hours has to be completed so that the next crew can come in. My job, in most cases, I'm known as what's called a pre-rig grip. So I'm the person that comes in that ties the points off in the air before the speakers can go up, before the sound can go up, before the lights can go up. I put those points in the air.
Okay.
I've worked on... I think the highest that I've ever had to climb was 85, almost 90 feet in the air.
90 feet in the air.
That was for steel wheels. That's steel wheels is the Rolling Stones tour.
Okay.
So, but that all requires someone to actually do the work. It doesn't just happen.
Right. And I'm gonna jump in for just a quick second. I want to welcome our one of our board members, board chair Nadine Levy, to the show.
How you doing, Nadine?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. And that kind of spills into, I tell people all the time, things kind of work for us own. So before there's a rigger, there's a person like Nadine who is architect, licensed AIA architect that is joined the coalition and has been a part of our youth. I build a youth foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And before the rigger comes in, you have somebody like Nadine who designs the actual makeup of how all that's supposed to work and be delivered. And people don't realize architects do a lot that correlate with the multimedia. There's a strong
yes.
brothering, sistering. I'm going to start calling it sisterhood. sisterhood. It's involving the relationship to multimedia and the applied arts and technology that's been applied. Nadine, you guys have really opened up my mind to so much that I just could not. I'm almost pretty much blown away about how the relationship fits with the program that just all together. It's just wild. I'm just so excited of being able to deliver that viewpoint when it comes down to not just architectural but applied arts and technology. The relationship is phenomenal.
Yes.
One of the biggest things that people don't understand is anything that deals with the five senses, any environment that deals with the five senses, architects and architectural designers have something to do with it.
Yes.
You can't work in a place. You can't go to the place. And a lot of people take buildings for granted. They're the backdrop. They're the background
mm-hmm.
in which everything we do happens. Right? Even the cities we live in or the towns we live in, architects and planners design those, and
yes.
the way we perceive them is based upon the design of these people. I mean, somebody designing in a room, I mean, affects the way we move, the way we walk, the pace at which we do it, where we do it, and we don't understand that. I mean, and especially in our communities, we don't understand the impact that these urban designers, these planners, these architects have on our life. One of the things that I always check myself, my friends, my family who are not architects, and I've got two more in my family who are not architects, is I ask them the question, when you drive into different neighborhoods, how do you know it's a good neighborhood just by driving through? You can pick that up. You can pick that up. Just by driving through a place, you know, is a pleasant place to be. There's something about it you can say that says, you know what, I like this place. It's a pleasant place to be. And it's because all our senses are responding to it, even
yes.
if we can't put our finger on it as to why it is what it is. Just like music or multimedia, you know when it's right. It feels, we say in the industry, it feels right.
It feels
because,
right.
Because
it's
a five-sensory, it's a five-sensory experience. And
yes.
all parts of the senses have to be correct, otherwise something, even if you can't put your finger on it, doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit.
And that's what we do. As designers, that's our aim, is to pull everything together and create a sensory and full five-sensory environment, right? And unlike an artist, unlike whatever, the things we build are permanent.
Okay.
They are. They're 20 years, 30 years, 40
yes.
years. They'll be there for a long time.
Absolutely.
So we better get it right. We better get it right.
It has to be right.
That's it.
You know, for me, I did an internship with the city of Seattle
mm-hmm.
As architectural lighting.
Okay.
As a theater major, though. Here it is, I'm a theater major being brought into the city of Seattle
mm-hmm.
to deal with architectural lighting.
Exactly.
As you said, the sensors. How do we feel when we walk into that room? How does
exactly.
How do the lights strike the room?
Exactly.
How do they strike the outside of the room?
It affects our mood. It affects
it does.
Our ability, our activity level. It affects so much. That's why schools and places of learning spend so much time and energy designing these things in.
Yes.
You know, any restaurant, any theater, every court involved in putting places in a different sensory mindset, they take a lot of effort and a lot of energy to recreate the three dimensions around us so it plays tricks on our mind.
Yes.
You know the surround sound, that's a three-dimensional thing, but it's affected by the acoustics in the room. How hard is the floor? How hard is the ceiling? How does it reflect off the ceiling? What materials are on the floor and the ceiling? People think they just stick some technology in the back, hang some speakers up, and they'll get it. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
You know what, you guys, that's so interesting, and that is why I just absolutely am just blown away with the passion of understanding that what the Build a You Foundation is doing for our young people. Yes, you can go out there and draw a picture. This is one thing you said, Nadine, that there's 280 registered women of color, African-American women in the United States, and there's only 15,000, I think, AIA-registered architects. And it's just like... 180,000 together.
In the right. All 180,000 AIA registered architects. All
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
There's only 0.02% of that group are African American. 1% of that group is African American, period.
And I think that what has happened to us as a people is that we have become so much the consumer, never really thinking about what it takes to get it on the table.
That's correct.
One of the statements is often made in amongst stagehands. The best job that we do is when we walk away and nobody knows what we did.
Exactly.
That's
they
when I've done my best
great.
Work.
That's it. They just know everything was great.
As long as there's no complaints, I've done a good job.
That's
seamlessness.
Right.
As long as
no one says, wow, those lights were fantastic, I have done a great job because it's
That's
seamless.
It's seamless. It's in the background. Nobody really notices.
At all.
I think that's one thing that I like about the cohesion that's been created. You know, a lot of people are going, Karima, you know, what is with this IOTC? You guys are signatory to the carpenters. Why? They work hand in hand. The carpenters,
yes, we do.
In other places in the world, the carpenters get along really well. Down here, you know, of course, it's the South. But they work seamlessly together with what you all do because it's been the unions and the structure and the, you know, Nadine, we're talking about standards. There's an industry standard that all architects follow, and they don't care what the owners say. You don't care how they talk. I don't care how much money. You'll tell them, I can't do that. And they say, why not?
Can't do that.
You say,
that's
the whole
building. That's it, industry standard.
You know, and the other thing, you had mentioned the South. And I really, I hope that we're in agreement. If we're not, then I'm in big trouble when I make this statement.
Go ahead.
But I'm really beyond the microcosms that we get caught up in living in because you for not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we affect 12 people in the South.
That's great. We've done a great job.
Because one of the things about this business, when we start talking about business, the importance of business is that we're able to commune globally.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because if we get caught and stuck in our little microcosms of where one union or one trade doesn't get along with another, we got that in California.
We'll be surprised by something completely different. The classic case was the Olympics in China.
Yes. Yes.
That reflects, it just shows you, it reflects both of our areas. The dramatic effects that all those shows had was mind-blowing.
Yes.
The thing that really hit me was that footsteps through the city, which was both a stage or theatrical performance
yes.
and urban des- exercise, an architectural exercise, and it was mind-blowing. That's the level which we need to be thinking of.
Absolutely.
Because it's already been done. It's already old.
When we move beyond countries, continents, borders, and begin to actually start doing this work.
That's correct.
It changes the whole game.
It sure does.
We don't have to concern ourselves with people not getting along with other trade unions. What we have
That's
to concern ourselves with is maintaining the standards. Because as we maintain the standards, then the other trade unions will jump aboard.
Absolutely. And that is why the mission for what we have done, the few that have put this together have done, is utilize the infrastructure of the industries in which we work in.
Yes.
When you do that, you can become innovative, and then you can platform whatever you need to. Who thought 8 years ago or 2 years ago, even a year ago, that the coalition would even have a multimedia? Who had even thought about it? It never, ever dawned on me in any kind of way until I started talking to this sister named Destiny Muhammad, which I chased around the country.
Oh, my God. almost a year.
I tell you, we are so excited, and I truly look forward to sitting down and talking about some other things offline,
mm-hmm.
one-on-one.
Yeah, I think
with you as well, Nadine.
Yes, I think the one thing I want to share with you guys, and I thank everybody for coming on to the show and making everything flow together. A lot of people don't understand the hats that each one of us wear in our transitions. I know everybody's very busy. Nadine, I know you were in transition going downtown. I thank you for jumping on and being a part of this. And I know Destiny, you guys are. I don't know if you guys are in the mobile office or not.
No, this time we actually have to be sitting.
We're in the stationary.
Oh, you're in the parking lot. I certainly appreciate you guys coming aboard and helping address the issues that, you know, it becomes a part of a system that we have. I think the coalition itself, the construction part of it, can learn so much, Nadine, Destiny and Chriswell and Freeman and the other caller that's on. I think they could learn so much with the cooperation that you have within the multimedia. It is so simple. The respect is there. Everybody stays in their lane, I guess, except for Karima. You know, I'm an exec producer, I'm a director.
Yes, because you're nosy.
Well, you know, we have to keep ourselves poked around a little bit. I get a lot of questions from our national executive board folks who don't get it. They still just say, I don't get it. Why not?
Well,
you know, you got Nadine, who is excited about us becoming IOTC members because of the fact that now she can go in and design all the floor spacing at these conventions that we're a part of. She almost flew out of the seat.
It's a building, isn't it?
with a real understanding of what it takes.
Bingo.
I mean, that's like, that is huge.
That's a no-brainer for me.
for those who don't get it, all we ask is that they keep spending their dollars to those conventions.
That's right.
In
so
which
we keep doing them.
In which we provide services for.
Exactly.
Because I think that if they ever wake up and figure it out, it will be like so many fraternal organizations that have their own.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say something there?
No. That's right. That's
because
right.
Realistically, once you figure it out, then you begin to create your own.
That's right.
And that's what we're leading to.
That's right. I mean, I think it's essential. It's critical. It's critical that we begin to develop our own, fund our own, build our own, you know, employ our own, and it goes so much further, and have and control our influence.
Here's a question. I'm just throwing this out here.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is, women in construction, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
However, women in construction go where to have a meeting?
A convention center.
And the convention center is glad to see you all coming. Because you all don't, you can't figure it out. You don't understand why Karima has hooked up with IOTC.
That's right. To me, that's a no-brainer.
Did I? I'm sorry. Maybe I missed it.
I'm going to ask you to start giving away our strategic plan.
Right, right.
Our financial strategic retirement plan. My God.
Come on with that.
it's a total business model change that they made.
I would like to have a conversation offline.
I agree with you. We need to do this offline. Yeah, we need to do this one offline. But it's changing the business model. I think Nadine hit on that. So, you know, we're talking about changing our business model. And I said, why not at the very beginning of the show? Why is the coalition so trying to be traditional? We changed our business model. Why not just get it all?
But if you're going to be traditional, I think that we should truly be traditional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you look at traditions, traditions have their own institutions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So you really can't talk about traditions if you don't have a house to practice the traditions in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, you're really just kind of like you're going through the motions, you're putting on, you're almost there, but you're not. We can't really talk about traditions.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm going to leave that alone. That's an offline.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you guys, the one thing I'm very pleased to announce is that with us becoming a part of the IOTC, it's also given us the opportunity to give our kids, as we said earlier, someone said about building a way for their eyes to open up.
Yes.
That's the idea.
There's three of us that understands the resurrection of the blind, deaf, and dumb.
Yes.
You know. So
that's right.
You know, it becomes a very strong point, a mission that makes sense to people who have a higher conscience. You got about seven people that are sitting here listening, and you have our listening audience that you know, we're broadcasting live online, we're streaming live online, and this becomes a recorded, documented, static footprint for our youth to be able to incorporate all the shows that we've had since August. And so therefore, while we're laughing, and because we can laugh, there's one thing Destiny has taught me, get over it. It's all right to be okay. It's all right to have enough money. It's all right to be able to pay your bills on time. It's all right to be able to pick up a check.
It's all right
to do that. You know, if you got to always be around people that's always complaining, they're stuck. Nadine told me something the other day, and it almost blew my mind. She said, Karima, people are just stuck, and you can't move them no matter what. So she said,
you gotta leave them where they are and show them what it looks like to be unstuck.
That's right. That's exactly. And that's why by us moving on, you know, they will see the dust and realize, wow, we are stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Because some people are the audience.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
And some people are the actor. I'm sorry.
I tell you guys.
So some people watch.
That's right.
And some people participate.
I
choose to participate.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I'm not a watcher.
and you know, the further we get through this, that multimedia in this applied arts and technology situation, I can't even get past it. I mean, flash animation, web design, development.
May I chime in one thing? These are things that our kids are accustomed. They become second nature.
Yes.
I've got an 8-year-old cousin. All right. I mean, an 8-year-old niece. Since she's one, she's been playing the DVD player.
Uh-huh.
So it's second nature. Since she was three, she had her own computer. That's second nature. That's like you painful for her.
Yes.
It's not a big deal for her. It's no big deal. This is just something, just like open the refrigerator, turn on the stove, wearing shoes. It's no big deal. Right? We're the ones, the older generation are the ones who make it a big deal. This is the language our young people are speaking. All
yes,
right?
It is.
And I think if we are able to expose them to the breadth and depth of and range that's possible, they will take it and run with it, and we will be blown away by what they come up with.
I look at, for instance, and I'm not against the Army nor for the Army, so that's another conversation.
Right.
However, the new form of recruiting, I don't know if you all are seeing it down there, but a new form of recruiting is, in fact, video games in malls.
That's right.
With war games hosted by the United States Army.
That's
now,
are you kidding?
But if you think about it, the United States Army uses simulators, which are games, video games.
Yes.
You can play video games all the time. Hey, no big deal. If they want to be a pilot, video games. They use simulators. They train pilots in simulators. Video games.
Why
about
is
video games?
So why is it so baffling to begin to simulate success?
Wow.
My mother has raised us the wrong way because I don't even know how not to be successful.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
I'm too afraid.
Why is that baffling?
I'm going to tell you why I'm afraid to cut you off. When you're not successful and you're one of my mother's offsprings, you know what her thing is?
You can always come back home, sweetie.
You know?
You can always move back home. We go, oh, no, God, let me go try this some more. But go ahead. I just want to point that out to you all. That is real reinforcement. You can always come back home.
Well, I'm truly thankful for her for extending to you that invitation.
Oh, no, that's not an option right there, boy. when you go home, you are a child, and you will be a child as long as she would say, as long
she's
as I am.
In her house.
Yeah,
there
I know, right? So you just park your vehicle, you guys, in the back. You don't even think about trying to go to a club or nothing. You going with me. You have no life now. You are my child. I am not yours. So go ahead, you guys. I just want to bring it. She's online now listening, so I just want to bring that out. I can say things. We're 1,200 miles away from each other. I'm bold now.
But the reach is far.
Your mother sounds like my mother, so that's okay.
I will say this. My mother is in paradise, and she still checks in with me.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is
wouldn't
a,
even
this,
go there.
So it's a never-ending story here, huh?
Right.
Ah, boy. We love you, Ms. Freeman.
Yes, we do.
Yes, Mom.
Okay, but I'm sorry for cutting you off. I just thought to bring that in, and I just kind of, you know, we only have like 8 minutes left in the show. It is so wonderful to be able to sit back and enjoy a type of scenario that brings together the relationship of what a Build a Youth Foundation does.
Yes.
The most interesting thing that I thought was when Destiny talked to one of the ladies from the organization that we're trying to partner with, if you want to call it, and she went into her role as a executive director. She really didn't want to hear a lot of things. She just kind of listened, and that was it. She said, "Well, if that's the policy and that's the infrastructure, we have no problem meeting that."
That was it.
Yes,
I was like, she said.
Game over.
Game over. That's the standard. Okay, we'll meet it next.
Yep.
No problem.
Cream will get that to you. No problem. Same thing with Nadine. You know, I brought a situation to Nadine. She says, as long as they build it like I draw it, Karima, I don't care. If I draw it this way, I want it to look this way. So it's real simple. Either you can fulfill the goals of the targeted situation, or you can't.
or you can't do it. And I'm okay with that.
Yes.
It's better for me to know that you can't do it.
That's it. I'll find something else you can do.
And that's where we go back to the industry standards, which allows us to be in a position where, in fact, I can have expectations.
That's right.
Because I often say to Destiny, I'm not a practitioner of common sense.
Mm.
I don't believe in common sense. This is America. It's a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
How can I talk about common sense when people haven't grown up with me? They
right.
don't speak the same language. We certainly don't attend the same houses of worship.
That's right.
We didn't go to the same institutions of higher learning.
That's correct.
So how can I actually look at someone and expect them to have common sense?
Uh-uh. Right.
This
no
is America.
Problem. That's it.
You can try that in another country, but this is America. It does not exist. Not for me, anyway.
Okay.
However, there are standards that exist. So I'm a practitioner of standards. I believe in standards.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, once we have standards, everybody knows where the bar is. Everybody knows what it takes to meet that standard. We're good to go. We can work.
We're good to go. It has nothing to do with someone's common sense.
Mm. Either you can do it or you can't. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what you look like, sound, if you can do it or you can't.
Or you can.
And, you know, that's so that's so sad. When you talk to some of these the women that we've been trying to give a different understanding that you need to change your business model. What should I change it to? The infrastructure itself that you're working in, you might want to try that. You know, kind of utilize that infrastructure, and they don't get it. I know that's that, you know, it's not for everyone. When we did the symposium, I spoke and I said, this is for real women. These are for real grown folks doing grown folks things that you may not like, but grown people do grow. And, you know, we're very blessed to have Legacy Bank come aboard with the coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And that bank is owned by four African-American females, started by four African-American females.
Beautiful.
And it's still running concurrently, even through this point in time,
yes.
by four African-American females. And they told us and said, Kareem, we have no problem working with the women, but this is not for everybody. Nadine, so what did she say? This is not for everybody, and that you better have thick skin.
Yes.
Because this is real business.
This is real business.
Exactly. We would not want anybody to compromise their standard just to slip people in. That does nobody any good. You know, it does nobody any good. It puts everybody at risk, and that is not what this thing is about. We're trying to raise the bar.
And that's why I told you, you said, don't worry about it. So, everybody, please let everybody know your website. Criswell, Destiny, your website on your...
HarpistFromTheHood.com.
Okay. And,
say that again. What was that again?
HarpistFromTheHood.com.
I like it.
Okay.
and ours is UpBuildDesign.com.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Right. Ms. Freeman, are you still floating around? Or?
Yes, mine is... www.uprevent, the letter U, prevent, PREVENTBIZ.com.
Ms. Freeman, that was Destiny Muhammad talking about you, too, on the phone.
No wonder.
and welcome, Gloria Adana.
Yes, RestorationTeleconference.com, and I'm in a totally different arena than you folks are. However, this is my motivational time. That's why I like to come on here. And
welcome.
I was in Vermont for the past two Wednesdays, so that's why you didn't hear my voice then. But thank you.
They got black people in Vermont.
Watch your mouth now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We everywhere.
Oh,
everywhere.
Yes, we are.
They dropped us off at the same time. Ladies, I'm going to end this with the song that I'm singing, and that I played it twice already. It also motivates me. This is Destiny Muhammad, ladies and gentlemen.
Give thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you.
ancient calling and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. I am the blessing you seek. Seek my face. I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
about that boy. Oh my goodness.